doctrinal stuff tonight, and God was like, no. And we went back and forth on that for a while, but God showed me some things that he really wanted to bring out. And let's just ask a question. Have you ever wanted to, I mean, in your mind, you ever think, how is God? How is he really? Like, how does he think? How does he operate? You know? And that this is kind of where I'm coming from is in tonight's message is we get an idea who God is and how he operates and how he operates through us and how he sees us. I guess that's the big key tonight is God sees us a lot differently than we see ourselves. Amen? And as believers. Now, he sees your life a lot different than you do when you're lost. But once you're saved, I think there's times we can get in there. We're going to go to Genesis 22. Ultimately is where we're going to end up being. But I want to read a verse out of Hebrews chapter 11. Not a verse, but several verses. Hebrews 11, 1. And then we're going to go all the way back to Genesis 22. If you can't find Genesis 22, it's the first book of the Bible. 22 verses in. 22 chapters in. Sorry, not verses, chapters. 22 chapters. Hebrews 11. I'm going to read Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For it by the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. God made everything. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. That's big right there, that part there where it says, he being dead yet speaketh, his blood spoke for him, and God heard righteous blood. Amen? That's not a part of the message tonight, but when you read that, you got to realize God hears blood, and the blood that he hears the best is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? If the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to your life, he hears that. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because he had translated him. God had translated him. For before his translation, he had the testimony that he pleased God. Amen. Enoch is one of the most blessed people in the whole Bible. Amen. One day, he was just walking, and I don't know who did what, but he kept approaching God, and he was thinking, God, I love you more than I love this world. I love you more than everything else. It just said he pleased God. So every day, he... And we're in the Hall of Fame of Faith here, so it kind of gives me this belief that he believed in God more than he believed in his present situation. Amen? He was looking at his present situation and saying, man, this ain't nothing. God's better than this, always. Amen? And y'all just stick around with me on this right here because it's kind of nerdy, but I want you to hear this. God said, you know what? I'd rather have you up here than you be down there. Whew. Wouldn't that be awesome? I don't know what translation looks like. You know what I mean? I mean, I've seen Star Trek. You know, I don't know if that's it, but, you know, they'll beam me up, Scotty. My God, it's a reference. But I just want to say, man, God said, you know, I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of you not being there. It gives me a feeling that God, we're not always wanting to get to heaven and getting to God just as much as he wants to get to us. Amen? That's a good way to think about that. I'm not trying to wear y'all out, but he pleased God. Verse 6, listen, this is the verse that I really wanted to get to in this part of the message. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. You need to underline that and put a highlight right there. You need to do something right there in your Bible. If not, just make a note in your notepad. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. You have to have faith. You have to believe that he is. And everything he is doing is for your benefit. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. Doing your best to seek him. Listen, By faith, you get up, you know, we get up, we seek, we're looking for Him. We're looking for God in every area of our life. Amen? As a believer. He's a rewarder of those who do that. Amen? That some of you are wondering why God's not using me or showing me or directing me or pushing me or giving me. Maybe it's a lack of, hey, by faith, I'm going to go look for God diligently. Because let me just preach right there for a minute before we're going to Genesis chapter 22. It is not always easy to seek God. That should have been a household. That should have been everybody in this room go, amen, that's right. It's not always easy to read your Bible. It's not always easy to pray. It's not always easy to listen to the messages. It's not always easy to listen to Christian music. It's not always easy to come to church. It's not always easy to say, hey, God, I want to look for you even in the tough things of my life. It's not easy. If it was easy, we'd all sit here every night and just come in. Man, I found Him, I found Him, I found Him. I found Him every day, I found Him every time. You know, man, He's just with me, He's riding with me. I feel like He's right here. I feel like He's in the presence. I feel that Him at home. I feel Him in the morning. Yeah, but you know what? I found this to be true. When you press through the I don't feel like it to the do it, you'll every time get to a place where like, man, I'm glad I did. Amen? You know, let's just say Wednesday night, for instance. Have you ever made it to a Wednesday night service that you didn't think you was going to make it to? Tonight. No. All right, but, you know, you get there and you think, man, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if I can get through. I don't know if I can do it. But once you get there and you're about, you know, about this time of the message in it, because I'm preaching like this right now, you go, man, I'm so glad I made it. Just to worship God. Amen? Just to be in concert with Him, and you're sitting there going, man, if I'd have stayed at home, I'd have been worse off tomorrow than I was today. Amen? That's how you do it anyway. You go anyway. I could just hear my who I call my pastor, Bobby T. I could hear him saying, thank God I made it. Thank God I made it. You know what I mean? Didn't feel like making it. He reminds me, I hope they don't hear this, but he reminds me of Yoda. You know what I mean? He just come slowly ambling into the church, right? But man, when he got behind that pulpit and started preaching, I'd be like, whoa. And he'd go, I didn't think I was going to make it, but I'm glad I did. Amen? That's exactly how I feel a lot of times. I didn't think I was going to make it, but I'm glad I did. I heard this saying as we're going to Genesis 22. Please go to Genesis 22 with me. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. I heard this statement a couple of months ago. There's about two things in here that I heard a couple of months ago, and I've wanted to preach them ever since, but God never gave me the green light, but the green light came today. Is if there was a shadow from Calvary that falls into the Old Testament, amen? If there was, you know there is type and shadow, but what I'm saying, if the shadow, that one of the biggest shadows would fall on Genesis 22, amen? The first shadow would probably be Genesis chapter 3, okay? But we would see if the shadow would really be heavy on Genesis chapter 22 because there's such an emphasis on everything that happens at Calvary right here to Abraham. So when we're jumping in this, I'm going to preach. I'm going to get five verses into this tonight. Now, if we get real excited and tore up and we go six or seven, I apologize. But if not, hopefully we'll get this. I want to bring some more. And some of y'all tonight, I know I've preached out of Genesis 22. I'll preach out of Genesis 22 a lot more while I'm here. Amen? Hopefully, if the Lord gives us time to be here and pastor for a long period of time, I'll preach out of here more often or a lot more times, but I'm not afraid to go back and look at some things. Y'all ready? Did I stall out enough to find Genesis 22? Good. All right. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. All right. Take that word tempt right there and just put test. I have said this probably a million times. You've heard me say it. You'll say, well, okay, Kevin said it again. But let it permeate. Let it soak down in your brain right here and in your heart that God will test your faith. Your faith will be tested. Amen? Every good relationship you've ever had in your life has to be tested by events, good and bad. Amen? Okay? Usually the bad are the bigger tests. Amen. Those are the tests. Like when you say, I'm just going to start here. When you say, I've got a friend, really, be honest, when you're talking about your friend, you only know they're a friend because they have made it through some tough situations. Right? Maybe a catastrophic event. Amen. Maybe a sickness, maybe a death. I'm going to go somewhere right here that you probably don't think I'm going, but I hear it in my spirit. Maybe they're still your friend despite of you. Whew. Amen. Have you ever had a season in your life that you weren't the most friendly? If you just want to jot down right there, because you're crazy and out of your mind, you might just want to, scribble the name down of your wife or your husband. Amen. You might want to. No, I'm not saying to. I'm just saying you might. That they made it through the season with you. Amen. Of you being who you are. Amen. At your worst. Amen. Now the catastrophic stuff and the trouble stuff and everybody against you stuff, those are still friends too. Man, praise God, they're there. But man, I have got a few, golly bum. I can't even look at some of y'all. I'm preaching to you. I got a few people who put up with me through the worst parts of me. Golly bum. And you're wondering if they're still going to be there. Yeah, you're bad. Your attitude is bad. Yeah, you were selfish. Yeah, it was bad. And but I like you anyway. Amen. Well, ain't that good? Amen. Aren't you good? I'm not talking about mentally unhealthy people. I'm just talking about being honest. They stuck with you despite of who you are. And guess what? You've done the same for them. Amen. Golly, I like those friends the best. When the wheels should have came off and they didn't come off. Amen. When they should have went running, they had every right to leave. But they still love you anyway. Pray for you anyway. Show up anyway. Encourage you anyway. Golly, Bob. I hope that means something to you because it means a lot to me. Amen. And I'm not just talking about your friends. I'm just talking about you got some people in your life. Man, they should have run for the hills a long time ago. Amen. But they didn't. God will tempt your faith. I think about this a lot when he calls Abraham. Look at Abraham's response. Here I am, man. Sometimes we answer God and we're talking to God and we're always expecting God to do something great and blessed and awesome. But what if he's calling on us to go through something hard? I'm always thinking about this. How am I going to handle? Have you ever seen people go through really hard things? And you're going, and I don't mean to do it, but sometimes I'll go and register in my mind and I'll go, how would I do with that test? If I was presented that test, how would I do? Amen? Amen? I don't know. Would I pass it? Would I barely get by? Or would I fail it? I hope I wouldn't fail it. Amen? God knows you. He's a better test giver than you are a test taker. Amen? But I like that, what he said. He said, here I am. I love coming to God and just telling him, here I'm present. Amen? And now listen, there's a lot of things about God you need to understand, but this thing's been just rolling around my spirit when I get this. God loves it when his people are ready and present, available. The greatest gift or the greatest ability you can give to God is your availability. Amen? If you're not careful, your time on this earth will start slipping by faster than you can imagine. Okay, everybody else in here got that. Boy, you're on a different track than I am. Amen. I feel like time's going by way too fast. Okay, there we are. I figured I'd find some of you. Amen. All right. If you're not careful, you're going to be in a position where you kept telling God, I'm going to one day. I'm going to do that great thing one day. I'm going to do that thing. God, I'm just saving it up. I'm saving everything up for you. Really, God doesn't want any of that. What he wants is your availability, and he knows what he can put you in. He knows what he can put you in. Okay? God is all right. He can figure out the details. He needs more people in the field working in faith than he does experts in the field. Whew. Man, I should have said that slower. Amen. Did y'all get that? Did that resonate? He don't need experts in the field. He needs workers. He needs somebody to show up and say, I don't know how to do it, but I'll do everything I can. Amen? Let me go ahead and just jump over there. God usually puts you in stuff you ain't going to know anything about anyway. Thank you, preacher, for that. Verse 2, are y'all ready? And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Man, this is a setup. And get thee into the land of Moriah. Moriah is the same place they built the temple. It's the same place they crucified Christ. It has a lot to do with the crucifixion of Jesus. But in this type and shadow, it's a place where God is testing Abraham's faith to show him that he's good. Amen. And offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee. Let's just break this apart. Y'all ready? Y'all ready to just tear this apart? Watch this right here. God will often call you and send you and use you when it does not make sense to you. All right, listen. Abraham's near 100 years old, all right? He's had his son. He's now into his late teens, early 20s. Okay? This is the thing. This is the miracle. God, I wish I'd help me preach. He's a walking, talking, breathing miracle, Isaac is. He's what God gave him. And you know what God says? Give him to me. Wait. This don't make sense, God. This ain't good timing. Matter of fact, he probably could have been, wait a minute, remember God? It really wasn't good timing when we started this endeavor. I was 90 when we started. You don't start parenting in your 1900s. Just ask anybody. That's not when. You're a little bit crazy if you started in your 40s. Amen? Because it's just, there's a gear in there that's missing, right? But watch this right here. All of a sudden he says, give him back to me. God knows more about you than you know about you. When he said that, I can guarantee you there wasn't nothing in Abraham other than faith that said, I can trust God with that. Every parental instinct in his life kicked in. And if it didn't in him, it did in his wife. Amen? That said, this is crazy. How are we going to start over? Listen, you might wonder, how are we going to start over at the end of our lives? How are we going to take the only joy, happiness, and love in our lives? That's what Isaac names means, laughter, joy. Could you imagine if God said, hey, all I want you to do is kill one thing, all of your joy, all of your happiness. Just kill that for me. Man, they got up every morning, amen? They got up every morning and went, the boy's here. He's still here. 20 years, because they waited a long. The longer you wait for something and you get it, you don't take it for granted. Amen? So guess what? Every day, and then God comes along and tests. You better write this stuff down, because guess what, folks? We are living in the end times of this world, and we're sitting here preaching. You're sitting here going, when big things hit us, we're going to be sitting here going, how can we do this? Why are we going to go through this? And God's sitting here going, listen, I'm going to try your faith, and when it looks like the most desperate thing in the world, you can trust me. You can put your faith on top of who I am, and you can walk it out. You don't have to sit around like everybody else and go, oh my gosh, have you ever read Revelations? It's awful. Not for the church. You know we're living in end times? That's scary. Not for the church. It's not for the church. The church, that's when God comes back. It's what we've been waiting on our whole lives. If you got faith and trust in Jesus Christ, it's going to be scary for people who don't know Him. Yes. But I'm going to tell you right now, every time something gets reported, I think, man, that looks like the end time stuff. People go, do you believe that this could happen to us? Do you believe that you could take this? You believe you can take that? I'm sort of going, I'm born again, blood-bought Christian. Next thing I know, at the end of this world, I'll be standing in glory. That's what I believe. Come to him at the worst time. Hey, give me your son Isaac back. Lay down your Isaac. Remember the old song, the gospel song, lay down your Isaac? That'd be tough. Man. So here I am, Lord. Take now thy only son, Isaac. Take him. Watch this right here. I want to show y'all some stuff. Whom thou lovest. Listen to this. God knows his heart. Listen to this. He wasn't dealing with somebody who didn't care. He goes, I know you love him. I know you love him more than you love yourself. Amen? He ain't messing around. Watch this. Take him. Watch this. This is so good. Y'all pay attention right here. Whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering, that's bad, upon one of the mountains. No specifics? Oh man, y'all act so cool in here. I want to come home with some of you people. I do. I would like to spend like a month with some of you, really, day in and day out, because in here I'll say stuff and you're just like, go kill your son that was a promise to you that you're going to be a great nation. Go slaughter him on the Mount of Moriah. Go give him the one you love somewhere in this region, over here. God, you would be sitting there and go, which mountain? Which trail? Is there a sign? Right? I mean, you'd be hee-hawing around with God until the cows came home. I know I would be. Is this you, Lord? It sounds like you, but I'm not sure. When I left my nation for you, I walked right out of there, left my whole family. Haven't been back since, not even for family reunions. Hey, man, I've been wandering around here today. You've been talking about a nation. I know I messed around that one time and created Ishmael, and it's a bigger problem than it was a blessing. But you know what? I'm sorry about that. Which mountain are you talking about specifically? I mean, you're talking about a region? Do I just need to pull up around that area? What? What? Golly, I wish I had some people in here that would just, I'm being honest. Has God ever asked you to do anything and you've went out to do it and you know how he is? He's not very specific. I want you to go. Okay. God said that to me back in 2005. Kevin, I want you to go. Where? You know how many churches I drove by, ministries I drove by, things I drove by. I'm going, is that the one, Lord? Is that the one, Lord? I believe it's that one right there, Lord. Matter of fact, I hadn't even been to any of the places where I ended up in ministry. I ended up in Villanelle, Georgia. Where's that? We come to an intersection, turn left, the old church that the Civil War used. They used it in the Civil War for a hospital. Didn't see that coming, Lord. Little did I know there was a civil war going on the inside still. Amen. It's amazing how God works. Go to Mount Moriah. Go offer your only son, the one you created through my plan. You think God's ever going to test your faith with the things that you love, or is it always going to be things that you can give up no matter what? No, God comes after the things that you, he's going to find out, do you love him? Have you fell in love with who you are? Have you fell in love with what you did? Have you fell in love with what you experienced? Amen? Sometimes we can identify with the worst thing that happened to us or the best thing that happened to us. If I'm not careful, I can identify myself as a pastor, preacher, or leader, or speaker. And you know what? That's crazy. I'm just a child of God. I'm a lover of God. I love him. Amen. He's given me way. At the end, all that's going to fall away, either in this life or the next. Amen. That's amazing. You know what I'm saying? But the gifts of God. And what did he do? He sends him on an errand with no exact details. Some of y'all need to write this down, because the closer we get and the more you spend in this church, if you do it right here. I'm not going to preach to anybody here that just, if you just wanted to come and just enjoy, okay? This is probably not right here for you. But if you came here with the mind that you love God, want to worship him, want to hear a word, but also want to apply that word, then you want to get involved. You want to tie in to this church and this community, and you want to be a part of people's lives. You want to see people get well and whole and better. You want to be involved in kids' lives and adults' lives and everybody in between. Well, guess what? This message is for you. Sometimes God will tell you to do stuff, and he will not even give you any details other than just volunteer. Just put your name on the dotted line. Just walk up to the person who's doing it and say, I'll be here. I don't have any talents or abilities. Now, that's not going to be you. That's me. I got one trick. I can talk a lot. Amen? But some of y'all can come and say, I can do this, or I can do that, or I can do this. You know what? God will take and he'll use that and he'll blow your mind. But you know what? He's gonna call you to do amazingly scary things, and he's not gonna be specific. What did we sign up for when we got saved? It's beautiful though. Because we're walking by faith, not by sight. We believe the one who called us is working everything to our good, and we believe the one who called us has a better plan and knows us better than ourselves. If he told us everything, we wouldn't do it. If he told us all the great things that would happen, we might do it. But if he told you about the nights that you would spend on your face weeping before him, asking him to do anything but use you anymore, then guess what? Then you would not do it. For the people who walk in your life and the people who walk out of your life, you would not do it. The times when you think, God, this is not you. And he said, it's absolutely me. When you cry until you can't cry anymore and you're numb. But then you get up and say, because of that experience, I can do the next thing. Because there's been times where I've been so bad, so hurt, so bad, and been so alone. But then a year or two later, somebody has gone through that, or I needed that to experience the next level of ministry. And if God had told me that I would be here in this spot doing this right here, I would have said, no! That hurts too bad. But he said, do it anyway, because that'll heal and you'll be better for it. Amen? Now, there's been other times in ministry that I've got to do things. And this, I've walked away from things going, man, I can't believe God used me to do that. I would sign up every day for those things. And God knows it. So that's why the specifics don't come all the time. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offerings and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. I want to say this to you. What got him up early? Faith. Sometimes you're just going to have to get up when you don't feel like it. If he would have waited and he got up early. Get up. Faith gets you up early. Faith cut the wood. Burnt offering. He chopped the fuel to the fire. If you want a fire, God, I'm going to make the best fire that you've ever seen by faith. Can y'all get that? I'll make the best fire by faith that you've ever seen. I don't want to start that fire. I don't want to use that fire. But God, if you've called me to it, I'm not going to give you halfway fire. I'll chop the wood. Amen? He saddled the donkeys. He got them ready. They took out everything by faith. Guys, I wish I could sit here and tell you, man, it's easy. Some of y'all look, Pat, you're a preacher. That's easy. Listen, I'm telling you, sometimes you just got to get up every day and say, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to go anyway. Not good today. Didn't do good yesterday. Didn't feel like I done good. Going anyway. Amen. Put them donkeys together. Put them beasts to burden. Get the servants. Come on. Let's go. Amen. By faith he did that. This is the part, Charlie. This got me real good right here. This guy said this about 4 or 5 months ago in a message. It blew me away. On the third day, never thought about this. Never thought about this part right here. For 3 days, they camped every night. Could you imagine what that was like for Abraham? Every night they set up camp. God, this gets me every time. Set up all the stuff, where they're going to sleep, what they're going to eat. And he's made a little fire and they're sitting around it. I bet Abraham looked right across at his son, Isaac, and was sitting there going, God, I love you. If you got a son in here or a daughter, you just put yourself in that campsite, not one. And where you're going, where you're heading, what you're preparing to do. And you look across that fire and your son says, Dad, there's just something off about you. You just seem so serious and determined and focused. And because listen, guys, women, I'll kind of help you out right here. When a man has something really, really hard to do and he's going to do it anyway, he don't talk about it, and he probably says stuff like, "I'm all right." But if you look at his face and his forehead, he's concerned. And you know the difference, and you know the silence. And his son's like, "Dad, you seem concerned or worried or different about it." God, son, I just want to look at you. I've loved you since the moment you come into this world. I've loved you every moment of my life. I would love to lay my life down for you. Not two, setting up camp. Not three. The region's got to get close. You got to start seeing the formations. I lived in Polk County my whole life. Every time I drive, when we hit Cleveland, I can see the mountains I lived around. So some of you guys have lived here your whole life. Wherever, however you come up, you go, "I know what that is. That's home." Amen? That's home. That's the same way I see mountains in Polk County. I say, "I'm like, that's where I used to live." I could tell you, I could take you right to the place where that mountain, at the foot of that mountain, is where I lived. Amen? Abraham, packing up all the stuff that night. "Son, we're almost there. I love you. I love you." I bet there was more "I love yous" and "I care about yous" and "I'm proud of you" than any other time in his whole life up to that point. And that's a shame. We need to be telling our sons and our daughters and our families we care. Especially when we're worried, especially when we're burdened, especially when God's doing big things in our life and we don't know how it's going to work out. We should always say, "Man, I love you guys." That did not cost any of the men in here nothing. But I'm going to be honest with you. They can figure it out because you brought a paycheck home. They can figure it out because you provided all the stuff, the roof, the house. They can figure it out because you do the things for them. But every once in a while, when God's burdening your heart, you got to tell, you got to look at them and say, "Man, I love you. I love you, not because of anything else other than God has put you in my care." And that's never going to change, good or bad. No matter what, I'm going to love you through this, through it all. Amen? And watch this right here. "And Abraham said unto his young men, 'Abide you here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you.'" Man, what confidence in God. He finally found the place where he's going to operate for God. And he tells the two servants, he looks at them and says, "You guys stay right here. Me and the lad are going yonder to worship." It's the first place in the Bible that worship is mentioned. A lot of times our worship doesn't equal what worship means in the Bible. A lot of times we come in here and we worship and we want to feel good. Worship is when you can feel your worst and God is still good. When you don't feel like doing anything, let alone singing or praising or preaching, and you do it anyway because he's good. We're going up yonder and we're going to worship the Lord. Amen? "And me and the lad will return." He had more faith in God than he had in himself. Amen? The roles had turned. I'm just going to trust God. If you look in Hebrews, it said this. This is what got Abraham through. He said, if God brought Isaac through dead womb and dead loins, he could bring him back to life from the dead. He was believing the whole time. If God told me that this son was going to be a nation, then he can't lie, and I'll trust that more than anything I can do to my son Isaac. So me and the lad are going to go yonder and worship. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. We're going to see a lot of things happen in the next few years. I just wonder if we can stay in the place where we'll say, "You know what? No matter what you do, Lord, I'm going to worship you through it. I'm going to love you through it. And when it's all over and said and done with, I'll be faithful in it because you've been faithful to me." Amen? You've been faithful to me. and he will be faithful to you. This is the first part of this message. I hope next Wednesday's VBS. The following Wednesday, we'll try to come back and finish this up, okay? Been a blessing to be here tonight and preach to you guys and teach to you guys. On Wednesday night, this is a more of a let it absorb and change your life. We'll pray and we'll dismiss. Heavenly